Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Lutheran Church in Guatemala is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. We'd like to welcome you to come along to any of our services. We're coming to you today, though, from Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. We've just completed the Westfield House Symposium in 2017, a wonderful day. So if you hear some noise in the background, that's some of the festivities that are taking place there. And one of our very special guests, who we are delighted to have with us at our Pastor Study Weekend Symposium, is the president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Guatemala, President Dr. Abdiel Orozco. President Orozco, welcome.
Thank you very much, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be here and to be in the meeting in Westfield House. It was a wonderful conference.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the history of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Guatemala? How did you get your beginning?
Yeah, Guatemala is a small place located in Central America, close to Mexico. In the past century, in the beginning of the past century, the German immigrant come to Guatemala and establish a Lutheran church. But when it started the Second World War, the German people is moving out from Guatemala. And they go to United States in a prisoner camp, and the missionaries of LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, visit the prisoner camp and speak with the Guatemalan Germans. And they invite to LCMS to visit Guatemala. The mission started 70 years ago and established the first Lutheran church in Guatemala in a port in the Atlantic. The name of the city is Puerto Barrios. And start with a service in German and service in English. But when they moved to the city, established a new Lutheran church and start with the service in Spanish for the Guatemalan Spanish people. And 70 years ago, started the Lutheran Church in Guatemala like a mission of LCMS.
Tell us about your church today. How large is your church? How many members? How many pastors?
We have 17 churches and 10 mission fields in all the country. We have 20,000 members in all the country. It's not the biggest church in Guatemala, but it's growing. We have mission field in the with the Mayan tribes in Guatemala, and start two missions in the with the language named Kaxikel. It's in Mayan language, and we start to teach the small catechism to the people in the Mayan language, and start a mission. And also we have two big churches in Guatemala City by the person that speak Spanish with a good economic level attending to our churches in Guatemala City.
And in our previous conversation, you were telling me that education plays a huge part in the church. Can you tell us about some of the work you do with education?
Yeah, we have 4 Lutheran schools in Guatemala. And in the largest school in Guatemala, in a town called Zacapa, we start with our seminary. We have 5 students for the pastor program and 15 students for the deacon program. In this place is the biggest school from kindergarten to high school, and is in the same place is the Lutheran University and our seminary.
What sort of degrees does your university offer? Is this and how large is it?
We offer a bachelor program and a master program in education, law, and engineering.
And you also, as I understand it, provide schooling even for the very young children.
Yes. We have a school for very young children. Start with a kindergarten and to the high school.
And do you have any other missions? You mentioned your mission to the Mayans, your education. What other sort of mission work are you involved with?
In my church, the pastor in Guatemala City in a church, Lutheran church called Mighty Fortress Lutheran Church. And we have a mission field in the poorest people in the area close to the Guatemala City. We have a social program. We have a medical clinic, laboratory, pharmacy, and dentist clinic with very low prices. And the important is in this place, we have a Lutheran church and give the social program, but also we have a spiritual program, especially with kids. We have a tutoring school for kids. They come every afternoon to receive tutoring in mathematics, science, and English.
Now, you mentioned that a couple of your congregations are in a pretty prosperous area of Guatemala City, and then you mentioned the very poorer areas. How do you work in I suppose those different areas? Are those in the wealthy areas accepting of those in the poor, and those in the poor areas accepting of the wealthy? Do you bring them together? How do you minister to all the different levels of society there?
It's hard, but I'm a doctor. Also a pastor. I have a degree in medical doctor in the university in Guatemala. And I have a master degree in Cornell University in Staten Island, New York. And a PhD degree in hematologist, Texas University, Houston. And for 20 years, I work with health minister in my country, like an advisor of the minister and supervisor of the all blood bank in the country. Now I retired, but my position give me the opportunity to know so many professionals, so many politics, so many people. And now I'm a pastor, and I invited my colleagues and businessmen, politics, to attend the 2-hour church, Lutheran church in the city. And so many people, political and rich people, is coming to our congregation. And the offering of these people support our social program with the poorest people in our mission. It's interesting, but I preach in also places. In the city, in Mighty Fortress, with very intellectual people. And also, I preach every Sunday in the afternoon to the poor people with a low education level. But it's interesting. I can do it. It's not easy, but I can do it.
So why or how did you decide to become a pastor? Please tell us your story. How did God call you into the ministry from your profession as hematologist?
Yes. My father was a pastor, a Presbyterian pastor in Guatemala. He died 30 years ago. When I studied at the university, I don't attend to any church. But when I was finished my program, PhD program in United States, I have a contact with a Lutheran church in Texas, in a congregation in Texas. And when returned to Guatemala, I find a Lutheran church in Guatemala. And just in this moment, a missionary from LCNS was establishing a new mission field, a new congregation in the city. And he invited me to participate. And 15 years ago I start this mission, and 10 years ago I start in a program of the theological program for a pastor, and I have 5 years to be ordained like a pastor in Guatemala.
And now you are the president.
Yes,
of the church. How did that happen? And can you tell us about the structure or the polity of your church body?
Yeah. We have a national assembly formed for the representant of all the churches in our country. And the representant elected a board and president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. We have a serious crisis in the Lutheran church in Guatemala. The conflict between the leaders has a serious damage to the Lutheran Church. And 4 years ago, the president of our church suffering attempt and killed the secretary of our church. It was a scandal. And nobody liked to be a president of the Lutheran Church. And I came from United States to study, and the members of the church, the representant of the church, talked to me about the possibility that I accepted to be a candidate for a president. And I win the presidency, and now I was reelected the past January for 2 years more.
Congratulations. Now, it sounds like you've got challenges in Guatemala. When you look at the society, again, we were talking, and Guatemala is predominantly, or when we think of it, you think of predominantly being Roman Catholic, and you tell me now that there is a huge Pentecostal movement. How do you and in your church body work in an environment which is predominantly Roman Catholic or Pentecostal?
In the beginning of the past century, Guatemala was a Roman Catholic country. Only 20% of the people was evangelical. But now, the evangelical, especially the Pentecostal movement, is growing in Guatemala. We have 4 or 5 mega churches in the city with, for example, one of these church has 35,000 members that attended every Sunday to a service. He has a very, very biggest building for a church, like a forum, like a stadium. The evangelical movement is growing in Guatemala, especially to talk about the prosperity theology. And this theology is very attractive to the people in Guatemala. The Lutheran Church was decreased 10 years ago, but we have implemented new elements, especially in the worship and the liturgy. We are confessional, we are a liturgy church, but we establish new change, especially in the music, because the youth of the Lutheran Church is moving to other evangelical churches, especially attracted by the music, by the worship. But now we are implement activities with youth like music, sport, Bible study, and a strong program with catechism to teach to the youth the roots of the Lutheranism and the heritage of the Reform is part of them, is part of the youth, Lutheran youth in Guatemala. And now we can't stop the moving out from our churches to the Pentecostal churches. And our churches is growing now. It's a success in Guatemala.
With that, I mean, it sounds like that's a challenge. What do you see the biggest challenge for the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Guatemala? Maybe the 2 or 3 biggest challenges for you as you look to the future.
We are clear that the moving of the Neo-Pentecostal Church is like an illusion. And the biggest church in Guatemala it's a start in a biggest crisis, moral crisis, and the people was a disappointment with the Pentecostal church. And this is the moment for the Lutheran church, because the people is returned to the Roman Catholic Church or find another church with basis, with a solid doctrine. And one of our goal is to be a notary, the Lutheran Church in our society. And we are using the media, the network, all the communication elements to share the gospel in the youth and in the Guatemala society. We transmit our divine service through internet, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and so many people in Guatemala is watching our programs and write and talk to me about are interesting to know more about the Lutheran Church.
So you're really taking advantage of the modern technology to introduce people to Lutheranism.
Yes, yes. This is the way in a postmodern society. If you don't use the network, the media, you can share the gospel.
Which is one of the reasons why we have Lutheran Radio UK in the ELCE. You also have some wonderful resources. You were telling me about a wonderful retreat center that you have in Guatemala as well. Could you tell us about that?
In Guatemala, there is a beautiful Spanish colony town called Antigua Guatemala. It's a town from the 17th century and don't have any change. And it's the major tourist center of our country. And in this place, we have a property. The Lutheran Church have a property, a biggest property, so expensive now property. And in this place, it's in function the Lutheran Center. It's a place where we receive team from other countries to visit Guatemala and to have any projection to the society in Guatemala. It's an international convention center too, and give the major economical support for the theological program in our church. In this place, was established International Lutheran Council, and Guatemala is a member founder of ELC.
Can you tell us a little bit about that history then? When did that actually happen? When did the ILC begin? And can you tell us about how it took place in Guatemala?
Yeah. The American missionary buy this property 15 or 16 years ago for $5,000. Now the price is $70 million is the value of the property. And also, the LCMS has a jewel, this property, and they use for many activities. And they offer this property to establish ELC in the 80s in Guatemala. It was the reunion point of all the founder members of ELC in Guatemala. Established the International Lutheran Council.
And I'm very pleased to say the ELCE was one of those founding members.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but the ELCE was. Now, you mentioned that that's where your theological training takes place. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you train your pastors?
Okay, we have a seminary in Zacapa. The youth start with a program of the 3 years. And when he finished the 3 years in Guatemala, we send the students to the other seminary for 2 years more and return like a pastor to Guatemala. We in the beginning used the Argentina Seminary Concordia Seminary in Argentina, and now we use the new Lutheran Seminary in Dominican Republic. The Reformador Seminary is a new seminary established by LCMS. And we obtained a scholarship to our students. And when he finished the program in Guatemala, we'll move to a new seminary for 1 or 2 years more and return to Guatemala like a pastor.
Now, from the description of your seminary education and from your wonderful beginnings of the ILC in the 1980s, it sounds like you have very close relations with a number of other Lutheran churches in Central and Southern America. Can you tell us about your relationship with those?
Yeah, we have an excellent relationship with the other Latin America Lutheran churches. For example, in the beginning of the 2000, we received 4 pastors from Brazil and established a good relationship with Brazil. I have a good relationship with a church in Argentina, send our seminaries to Argentina, have a good relationship with Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Venezuela, and Panama, and Mexico. There are the Lutheran Church members of ELC. Peru is also.
It is a real joy when we get together at ILC conferences to see the joy and the fellowship that all of you have. It's wonderful to be a part of and watch.
In the next August, we will have a ELC meeting of the Latin America area in Paraguay.
And when you meet, what will your theme be? And again, what do you see the challenges for the churches in all of Central and South America to be?
Well, it's the same. The challenge is to establish confessional Lutheran churches with a well-trained pastor, with a good or education, theological education level, confessional. This is the goal of our churches in Latin America. We don't like to have Lutheran church with emphasis in another things that don't be the God's word, the sacraments, the confessions. For us, it's very important to establish a good confessional church in Latin America.
That proclaims Jesus.
Proclaim Jesus. That's right.
Yes. Well, Dr. Orozco, it has been our absolute delight and joy to have you with us this week. Please take our greetings and our warmest greetings in Jesus back to our brothers and sisters in Guatemala. And we very much look forward to seeing you again in the future.
Thank you, Pastor. Was an honor to be here in Westfield House. Was an exciting experience. And I hope return again to share with my colleagues in Europe. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.